Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your high holy Sabbath day. As we come to you, Father, we come to you for a blessing. We ask that your will be done in our lives and that your word would have free course in them. We ask, Father, that you would charge us and change us according to your will. We love you, Father, and we thank you for your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, our Passover lamb. He shed every drop of his blood for the sins of man. We ask, Father, that you would help us to understand what a great sacrifice this was. We ask, Father, that we would not tread underfoot the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, but we would be mindful of your covenant, the one that we just renewed, Father, last night. We ask, Father, that you would strengthen your servant, that you would cause each one of us to understand what you've done for us. So we thank you, Father. And we ask that you would continue to be with your servant. We bless your holy name, Father, and we thank you for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. Continue to watch over your servants throughout this world. Bless this ministry wherever it is, and we ask, Father, for your honor and glory, that you would continue to open those doors and that you would cause us to boldly go through them to accomplish your will. Because it's your will that we want to do, Father, not our own. In Yahshua's name we pray, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may all be seated. Actually, we did forget something. We forgot to sing a song, but we'll get that song sung. I'll just add it to the end. Okay. This message is entitled, Deliver Us from Egypt. Deliver Us from Egypt. In Exodus chapter 12, we're going to look at verses 29 through 51. Almighty Yahweh delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage. He can deliver us from Egypt. Egypt is synonymous with sin. So Almighty Yahweh can deliver you from any sin. Keep that in mind. He can deliver you from drugs. He can deliver you from fornication, adultery, alcohol, abuse, anger, idolatry, being a thief, being an extortioner, any sin that you can commit, Yahweh can deliver you from. See, the problem with most people is that they don't understand that Yahweh is more powerful than anything on the planet. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 12. Verse 29. And it came to pass at midnight that Yahweh killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captives that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, Rise up, go forth from among my people, both you and all and the children of Israel, and go serve Yahweh, as you have said. Take both your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people to send them out of the land in a hurry. But they said, We are all dead men. They were worried about their physical existence. They had just seen their firstborn of their children and of their herds die. See, they didn't understand before the power of Yahweh. They saw the mighty wonders. Remember, there were 10 plagues. And they saw 9 of them. And Pharaoh poo-pooed them. So what? Still be it. No? But after the firstborn, his son died. Yahweh got his attention. Yahweh had the victory over the idols in Egypt. Every one of these plagues was directed toward one of their gods, one of their idols. So the Egyptians were really urgent upon the people to send them out of the land in a hurry. But they said, "We're all dead men." And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they let them have what they asked. And they plundered the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, besides children. And a mixed multitude also went up with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought forth out of Egypt, but was not leavened because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not delay, neither had they prepared for themselves any food. Now the time that the children of Israel dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of the 430th year, even the very day it came to pass that all the hosts of Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt. Exactly 430 years. It is a night to be much observed to Yahweh for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yahweh to be much observed of all the children of Israel throughout their generations. And Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he shall eat of it." Now see that first covenant. Circumcision was that covenant that was given to Abraham that made him one of Yahweh's servants. And all his males had to be circumcised. Now, when you look at that covenant, if you circumcise an individual, there's blood. See? But they're shedding their own blood. So this new covenant, the covenant of Yahshua the Messiah, the Lamb of Yahweh, shed his blood for all of our sins. And this is the difference, because the Jews, when they convert someone, they have to be circumcised. If they're already circumcised, say they were a Gentile and they were already circumcised, they still have to prick them and get at least a drop of blood. See? Because they're denying Yahshua. But they know that there's no covenant without the shedding of blood. But Yahshua shed his blood for us. Just like Yahweh told Moses, take the lamb. Choose your lamb on the 10th day. And you keep it by you, with you at the house. It becomes a pet. And on that 14th day, you cover it. You sacrifice that lamb that you've become so familiar with, so that that lamb could could save your life. Now, that lamb is the lamb of Yahweh. That's the lamb that we've chosen. This is why Passover, and I'll finish the passages here, it says, a sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat of it. In one house shall it be eaten. You shall not carry forth any of the flesh abroad out of the house. Neither shall you break a bone of it. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. Everybody is supposed to participate in Israel. And when a stranger shall sojourn with you and will keep the Passover to Yahweh, let all his males be circumcised. Then let him come near and keep it. He shall be as one that is born in the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. So if you're not of the covenant, if you haven't been baptized in Yahshua's name, you cannot eat of the Passover. Because our circumcision today is a different type of circumcision. It's of the heart. Okay? It's a spiritual circumcision. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and to the stranger that sojourns among you. In this manner did all the children of Israel, as Yahweh commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the same day that Yahweh brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts. Now, I told you that Egypt is synonymous with sin. So Yahweh has brought each one of us out of sin. We've come out of Egypt. And this is entitled, Deliver Us from Egypt. Just like he delivered the Israelites or the children of Israel back in the days of Moses from their bondage, he's delivering us today, brother. Like I said, from drugs, from fornication, all kinds of sexual sins, alcohol, anger-related problems, idolatry, theft, extortion, you name it. Whatever kind of sin it is that you practice, you can be delivered of it. See, people don't understand when you give yourself over to mind-altering substances, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, even smoking cigarettes. I mean, we're supposed to be the temple of Yahweh. And as the temple of Yahweh, you're not supposed to defile that temple in any way, shape, or form. Now, when people who are caught up, say they have a sexual demon, and they're out there constantly going from one partner to the next, back and forth, I mean, what can happen? Of course, AIDS. You got all these different problems that come. When you commit yourself to someone, okay, and the scriptures teach that that's what Yahshua says, how many husbands, when he was talking to the Samaritan woman, she says, I have no husband. He says, you've had five. Okay, and the one that you're with now is not your husband. See, so she wasn't legally married, but when you commit the act, it's actually what bonds you. It's a relationship that should not be broken. You become one. The two become one. Okay? Now, when you violate that covenant that you have with that one person, okay, with infidelity, and you go to person number three or person number four or person number five, you can see the intimacy there is gone. And this is what Yahweh wants us to have, that intimacy with him. It's a one-on-one. You have to have Yahweh first in your life. And once you have Yahweh first in your life, then, you know, you have your other partner. See, you got the three, Yahweh, you, and your partner. That's what makes that bond. Because he's a part of whatever you do. If you step outside of that relationship spiritually, You've created idolatry. You've gone and worshiped the foreign Elohim, a foreign mighty one. And that's what Israel did. They went away from Yahweh, but Yahweh still delivered them. Okay? Follow with me. Turn over to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. We're going to start in verse 1. My El, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? This is a psalm of David. And this is a messianic psalm. Okay? Oh, my Elohim, I cry in the daytime, but you answer not. And in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, O you that inhabit the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you did deliver them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not put to shame. If we trust in Yahweh, if we trust in Yahweh, we will not be put to shame. Because we will be delivered just like he delivered Israel. Verse 6, it says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they see me, that see me, laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake their head, saying, commit yourself to Yahweh, let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, since he delights in him. But you are he that took me out of the womb. You made me trust when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from the womb. You are my El since my mother bare me. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. You know, the bulls represent the tribe of Ephraim. Okay? Keep that in mind. They gape at me with their mouth as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water. The lion represents Judah. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaw. And you have brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. That term dog in the Hebrew is Gentile. I have here in my reference Romans. A company of evildoers have enclosed me. They've pierced my hand and my feet. They impaled our Savior. The Romans, Gentiles, the dogs, they did it, but they did it at the request of the lion, Judah. The leadership, Caiaphas and company. Be not, verse 17, I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and upon my garments they cast lots. And in John 19:24, you can see the reference there where the Romans did just that. They cast lots for his garments. Verse 19, but be not you far off, O Yahweh, O my strength, hurry to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog, of the Romans, these Gentiles. Save me from the lion's mouth. from my own people, the Jews, and from the horns of the wild oxen, you have answered me, Ephraim and Manasseh. I will declare your name to my brethren, John 17:6. In the middle of the assembly, I will praise you, Psalm 109:30. You that fear Yahweh, praise him, all you the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all you the seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither has he hid his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. Of you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise Yahweh that seek after him. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to Yahweh, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before you. Now tell me, at any time in the history of man, has all the nations of the earth worshiped Yahweh? No, not one. But guess what? It's coming. This is a messianic song. This is a prophetic song. It's telling you what's going to happen, what already happened. This was written by David. Okay? David wrote this several hundred years before the Messiah was upon the earth. Did these things come to pass? Absolutely. So I guarantee you that all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to Yahweh. They're going to teshuva. They're going to worship Yahweh. And all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before you. For the kingdom is Yahweh's, and he is the ruler over the nation. All the fat ones of the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. Even he that cannot keep his soul alive, a seed shall serve him. It shall be told of Yahweh to the next generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness to a people that shall be born, that he has done it. Almighty Yahweh is going to deliver us from Egypt. Just as he delivered ancient Israel from the bondage of the Egyptians, he's going to deliver us from the bondage of sin. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living Elohim. And it's happened to many people. Like I said, they got caught up in addictions. They got caught up in their problems. And they chose to backslide, to fall away from Almighty Yahweh, the living El. Now, the reason we say the living El is because all the other mighty ones of the earth are idols. Only the mighty one of Israel, Yahweh, is the living El. He's the only one that can give you eternal life. This is why we worship Yahweh. His name means I am eternal. Every name in Hebrew has a meaning. Verse 13, it says, but exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. Satan the devil is trying to pull you away from Yahweh. And you know why? Because then he has a victory. It may be just one person, but it's a victory. But the thing is, He's got many. He's got so many that it seems that the worship of Yahweh is truly in the minority. That's why it's called the narrow way. And few are they that find it. Broad is the way to destruction, as it tells us in Matthew. But the narrow way is truly narrow. For we have become partakers of the Messiah if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm to the end. And that's what we have to do, brethren. While it is said, today if you shall hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For who, when they heard, did provoke? No, did they not all, they that came out of Egypt by Moses, and with whom was he displeased 40 years? They came out of Egypt, and he was displeased with them for 40 years. They were in the wilderness. It was an 11-day journey from Egypt to Kadesh Barnea, to the Holy Land. 11 days, and it took them 40 years. You know why? Was it not with them that sinned? They died in their sin in the wilderness. Who went into the promised land? Only two that came out of Egypt of the adults. All the rest were children that were under the age of accountability. They were under the age of 20. And they went into the promised land. Only Joshua and Caleb of the adults. All the rest died in the wilderness in their sin. Yahweh had delivered them, but they did not give him glory for that deliverance. What about us today? Are we giving Yahweh the glory due to his name based on the deliverance that he has given us from Egypt, from sin? Think about it as we go through our daily life. Okay? Satan is always going to challenge you. He's always going to try you. If you were a smoker, he's going to put that back out there in front of you to see if you pick it up again. Drinker, the same thing. And there's nothing wrong with drink. It tells us in the Word we can drink. The problem is maintaining self-control, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. See? If you're out of control with your drinking, then you need to stop because you can't handle it. The same thing, if you're looking upon a woman to lust after her, you know, the scriptures tell you to poke out your eyes. You can do it spiritually. You don't have to. You can turn your head like David should have done when he was looking at Bathsheba bathing on the top of the house. Instead of inquiring who that beautiful woman is, sending for her, he should have turned and went back into the house. We are given an opportunity to walk away from sin every time. There's no temptation that has taken us that Yahweh has not given us an opportunity to walk away from. We don't have to give in to it. He says in the Word, resist the devil, and he will flee far from you. That means he's not coming back. He's going to come back. But you got to resist him again and again and again. We're asking for deliverance today, brother, because he's given us freedom out of Egypt, just like he gave Israel of old. He gave them freedom. What did they do? They murmured. They complained. Oh, man, I remember back in Egypt in our slave days, the leeks and the onions. Oh, we had all this, you know, good food to eat. All we have now is this manna. Manna and water. Think about it. That's what they did. They were delivered. They were slaves in Egypt, but then they complained about the deliverance. Do we do the same thing? Are we complaining about what Yahweh has done for us? Think about it. It says, was it not with them that sin whose bodies fell in the wilderness, and to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, which they did not, but to them that were disobedient. And we see that they were not able to enter in because of their unbelief. And that's what it boils down to. If we believe Yahweh, then we're going to walk that straight and narrow. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have a problem in your life somewhere along the line, because it says a righteous man falls 7 times and rises yet again. So therefore, like David fell, David got up. That's the key. You got to get back up. See? If you find yourself backsliding, if you find yourself falling in any of those areas that you had a weakness before, you have to go back to Yahweh. Think about Yahshua the Messiah and his shed blood. It can cleanse each and every one of our sins. All we have to do is be faithful, brethren. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 1. For freedom the Messiah set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Don't go back to the sin. That's what he's telling us. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, the Messiah will profit you nothing. Yes, I testify again to every man that receives circumcision, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Okay? Now, I have right next to that word law, oral. Okay? Because Paul was a Pharisee. He's talking to Jews. Right? And these guys are coming in as well as Gentiles. They're coming into the faith. But those of the circumcision, that term I'm using means Jews, were telling the people they need to be circumcised. And Paul's telling them not necessary. You don't have to be physically circumcised to be a part of the faith. But the Jews required it. See? He's saying you're not becoming a physical Jew, you're becoming a spiritual Jew. Circumcision not required. Only the circumcision of your heart. That's the difference. Remember, circumcision was the old covenant that was given to Abraham. And they couldn't take the Passover unless all their males circumcised. Now, for you to take the Passover, all you have to do is have a circumcised heart. Be baptized in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're not baptized in the name of Yahshua the Messiah, you do not have this Holy Spirit. Okay? It's important that people understand this, because he tells them in Acts 5:32, he gives his Spirit to them that obey. Now, what are we obeying? We're keeping the covenant. We're keeping the commandments. We're keeping the Sabbath. We're keeping the feast days. We're keeping the clean food laws. We're doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. There's 613 commandments in there, but he says you can do them all in two. Love Yahweh with all your heart and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because if I love my neighbor, I'm not going to go out and try to sleep with my neighbor's wife. I'm not going to go out and try to break in my neighbor's house and steal. I'm not going to covet what my neighbor has. You understand what I'm saying? Because Yahweh can bless me with anything that I desire. He'll give you your heart's desire if you're willing to do his will. It says, you are severed from the Messiah, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, wait for the hope of righteousness. For in the Messiah, Yahshua, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith through working through love. You are running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion came not of him that calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And see, that's important to understand. Because this is all Satan wants to do. He just wants to get in your ear a little bit. He just wants to get you to, you know, well, yeah, I got to do this because, you know, I want to be a good Jew. The term Jew means, Yehuda, means one who praises Yah. That's what it means. You can see the definition in any Bible, in Genesis. Chapter 29, last verse, 35. Genesis 29, 35 gives you the definition of Yehuda. She had a child. She said it was her fourth child. This time I will praise Yah. Praising Yah. Verse 10 of Galatians 5. I have confidence toward you in Yahweh that you will not be otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then was the stumbling block of the torture stake then done away with? I would that they that unsettled you would even go beyond circumcision. You have to understand what Paul is talking about. A lot of people, when they read Paul's writings, they are not placing themselves back in the Sitzleben or life setting of what Paul was dealing with. See, he was a Pharisee, dealing with Pharisees, dealing with Sadducees, dealing with Herodians and scribes. He was dealing with his own people, the leaders of the Jewish people. When he got turned around 180 degrees on that Damascus road, his eyes became open. He knew the law, okay? But he didn't know the Messiah. And a lot of Jews, that's the thing, they know the law, but they don't know the Messiah. See, so what happened? We have to get to that point where we learn the Messiah. For you, brethren, we're called for freedom. That's what Yahweh called us, for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And that's what's going to happen if you bite and devour. If you trouble one another. Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. Verse 1. For his loving kindness endures forever. And truly, Yahweh's loving kindness does endure from generation to generation. It says here, forever, time out of mind. Who can utter the mighty acts of Yahweh or show forth all his praise? None of us. Blessed are they that keep justice, and he that does righteousness at all times. This is what we need to do, brethren. We need to be faithful at all times. Remember me, O Yahweh, with the favor that you bear to your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the prosperity of your chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not your wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of your loving kindnesses, but were rebellious at the sea, even the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. Guess what? Everybody knows the story of Israel coming out of Egypt. Everybody knows the story of Moses. They don't relate to it
properly, but they know it. When they think about it, they don't call on Yahweh. See, because when they see the Cecil Bill Feed the Mill version, you know, I can't remember the guy that plays Moses' nemesis. I don't know. He was Pharaoh. I'm talking about the one that went with them. He was Dathan. He had left with them. He was one of the, well, long story short, you know, he was always on Moses, and of course, you know what happens in the scriptures. But there's always, Satan is always going to have an adversary. He's always going to have someone there trying to bring you down when you're trying to serve Yahweh, when you're trying to do that which is right. When you think about, they saw his glory. They saw his power. He took down the number one nation in the world. Egypt was the number one nation at the time that Yahweh took Israel out of them. And he destroyed them from being number one to, and they were never again that powerful. They got up there, but they never got as powerful. It's like the United States today, or even at its height, being taken down to a third world country or, you know, somewhere in else, right? Yes, it's coming. It says in verse 8, nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. And it is known. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through a wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their adversaries, and there was not one of them left. Then they believed his word. Didn't last long, though. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They forgot what he did for them. And that's what we cannot be like this. Yahweh is the one that delivered us from Egypt. He delivered us from sin. We can't go back to him. We can't think on those things. We've got to move forward. Like I said, in verse 13, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted very much in the wilderness and tempted El in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp and Aaron, the saint of Yahweh. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan. That's what happened to him. The earth ate him and covered the company of Abiram. And fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. In this manner, they changed their glory from the likeness of an ox that eats grass. They forgot El, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, a terrible thing by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them, and they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and listened not to the voice of Yahweh. Therefore, he swore to them that he would overthrow them in the wilderness, that he would overthrow their seed among the nations and scatter them in the land. They joined themselves also to Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. In this manner they provoked him to anger with their doing, and the plague broke in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. And that was reckoned to him for righteousness, all generations forevermore. The rest of the chapter you read on your own, okay? For lack of time, we're going to go to the next one. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 14. Down to 17. But thanks be to Elohim, who always leads us in triumph in the Messiah and makes manifest through us the savor of his knowledge in every place. For we are a sweet savor of the Messiah to Yahweh and them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one a savor from death to death, and to the other a savor from life to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as the many corrupting the word of Yahweh, but as of sincerity. It's like that sincerity, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. But as of Yahweh, in the sight of Elohim, speak we in the Messiah. He's directed us to speak in the Messiah. So, Exodus 32. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us Elohim, which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden rings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people broke off the golden rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received from them from their hands and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it a molten calf. And they said, these are your Elohim, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. What do you think Yahweh thought about that? They went right back to that Anubis, to that pagan bull that they worshiped in Egypt. They went right back to it. After Yahweh delivered them, they went right back to the pagan worship. And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to Yahweh. And they rose up early on the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Well, just because they were using Yahweh's name, that bull wasn't Yahweh. It was an idol. Yahweh told us in his word in Exodus that we're not supposed to make a molten image of anything that's on the earth, in the heaven, I need to see. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, go down, for your people, whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed to it, and said, these are your Elohim, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And Yahweh said to Moses, I have seen this people, behold, it is a stiff-necked people. And I'm telling you, sometimes we fall in that category along with them. You think about the deliverance that he's given us. Like I said, some of our past is pretty rough. But Yahweh has delivered us from that. And we don't want to go back there. Now leave me alone, that my wrath may grow hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Moses prayed before Yahweh. He became an intercessor. Moses prayed before Yahweh, his Elohim, and said, Yahweh, why does your wrath grow hot against your people, whom you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power, and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, for evil did he bring them forth to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and repent of this evil against your people. Remember Abraham, Yitzchak, Isaac, and Israel, Jacob, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land have I spoken, that I have spoken of, will I give to your seed. They shall inherit it forever. Yahweh repented of the evil which he said he would do to his people. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers 32, we're going to start in verse 20. Moses said to them, he's talking to several of the tribes that were on the east side of the Jordan. When they came into the Holy Land, okay? Moses said to them, if you will do this thing, if you will arm yourselves to go before Yahweh to war, and every armed man of you will pass over the Jordan before Yahweh until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land is subdued before Yahweh. Then afterwards you shall return and be guiltless toward Yahweh and towards Israel, and this land shall be to you for a possession before Yahweh. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against Yahweh, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out. And see, when we open our vows and we take these vows and do and say we're going to do this or we're going to do this, and we don't do it, your sin is going to find you out every time. This is why we have to be diligent. See? Because Yahweh has delivered his people from Egypt, from sin. What does he require of us? He's not asking for us to give our children to him. He's just asking for us to be faithful to the covenant that we've entered into. That's all. Verse 24, he says, build cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep, and do that which has proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spoke to Moses, saying, your servants will do as my leader commands. Our little ones and our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But your servants will pass over every man that is armed for war before Yahweh to battle, as my leader says. So they made a commitment to Almighty Yahweh, and they fulfilled it. See? Because they went over and did what they said they was going to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 1. This is very serious, brother. And the reason it's so serious is because we entered into a covenant. That covenant we entered into, we told Yahweh that we were going to keep his commandments. Now, his commandments aren't grievous. They're easy to keep. You know, I talked to someone, and they said, oh, you've been in this thing for 30 years. It's easy for you. You know all the ingredients. They change ingredients every day. That's why you got to keep checking what you put in your mouth. We're supposed to read the labels, especially this time of year. Now, because we're looking at Lebanon, we're worried about, you know, violating that covenant, okay? I meant to mention something last night I didn't say, but I'm going to say it now. You got to watch out for your salt. A lot of salt has leaven in it, okay? So you got to check out your salt. Make sure you read your label, even on your salt, that it doesn't have leaven in it. That's something that a lot of people overlook. So let's be prepared there. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, dare any of you having a matter against his neighbor, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints. For do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we should judge angels? See, this is another reason that you have to have this knowledge. See, we're making a choice. We're free moral agents. We can choose to serve Yahweh, or we can choose, you know, the other path, which is the broad way. Okay? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have to judge things pertaining to this life, do you set them to judge who are of no account in the assembly? No. I say this to your shame. What? Can there not be found among you one wise man who shall be able to decide between his brethren? But brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Before it gets to that point, we have Matthew 18. There's an issue between brothers. And then, if Matthew 18 is not working for you, it says what? Go get two or three others and let the matter be decided. If they won't hear the two or three, then you get the leader of the assembly involved. Then they make a determination. If they don't accept it, then let them be as Republicans in the center. Let them be out there. See, because they're not seeing eye to eye with the Word. The Word is set up so that people would be able to judge themselves. That's what we talked about before we took the Passover memorial. We didn't want to take it in an unworthy manner. We had to look at this thing from all different directions to make sure we were right before we took that vow. Because if you eat of the body and blood in an unworthy manner, he said, not a few of you are sick, that's why you're sick, and not a few of you sleep, because he'll kill you. You'll die. But brother goes to law, verse 6, with brother, and that before unbelievers. No, already it is altogether a defect in you that you have lawsuits one against another. Why not rather take wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? No, but you yourselves do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And such were some of you. You understand what the scripture, the word is saying? Such were some of you. And see, Yahweh delivered you from all of those things. So why do we want to go back? See, we don't. He's given us the freedom when he delivered us from sin so that we can move on to the kingdom. We can become perfected. And then we can help others to get to the kingdom. That's our goal, the kingdom of Yahweh. It says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the sovereign Yahshua the Messiah and in the spirit of our Elohim, our mighty one. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 18. For the wrath of Yahweh is revealed from heaven against all lawlessness and unrighteousness of men, who hinder the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of Yahweh is manifest in them. For Yahweh is manifest, Yahweh has manifested it to them. For while the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and majesty, that they may be without excuse, because that, knowing Yahweh, they did not glorify him as Elohim, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasoning, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible Elohim for the likeness of the image of the corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed beasts, and creeping things. They made images, idols, and started worshiping them. For this reason, Elohim gave them up in the lust of their hearts to uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, for that they exchanged the truth of Yahweh for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause Yahweh gave them up to passions of dishonor, for their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men working in decency and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. And even as they refused to have Elohim in their knowledge, Elohim gave them up to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to Elohim, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Children, if you think you can be disobedient to your parents and make it to the kingdom, it's not going to happen. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing the ordinances of Yahweh, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. And I'm telling you, we live in a world today where this is rampant, where this is going on. Okay? It's acceptable now. You're having same-sex marriages. Different states are approving it left and right. That's the sign that we're in the last days, very much so. Our closing scripture is going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Remember, the deliverance of Yahweh. Deliver us from Egypt, the title of the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, even as we obtain mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Yahweh deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Yahweh. And even if our message of good tidings is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish, in whom the mighty one of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the good tidings of the glory of the Messiah, who is the image of Elohim, should not dawn upon them. But we preach not ourselves, but the Messiah Yahshua's sovereign, and ourselves as your servants for Yahshua's sake, seeing it is Elohim that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh in the face of Yahshua the Messiah. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of Yahweh, and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not to despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, struck down, yet not destroyed, always been about in the body, the dying of Yahshua, that the life also of Yahshua may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Yahshua's sake, that the life of Yahshua may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you, but having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe. And therefore I spoke. We also believe, and we therefore also speak, knowing that he that raised up the sovereign Yahshua shall raise us up also with Yahshua and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the grace being multiplied through the many may cause the thanksgiving to abound to the glory of Yahweh. Therefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is for the moment, works for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Almighty Yahweh has delivered us from Egypt. He's delivered us from the bondage of sin. Brethren, let us not go back to Egypt, to sin, as the Israelites of old wanted to do. Almighty Yahweh has given us the strength through his word. He's given us the power through his Holy Spirit, to overcome this world and Satan the devil. See, he's given us freedom, and that freedom is to go forth and be a part of his kingdom. So may Almighty Yahweh bless you as he delivers each and every one of us from Jesus. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Davis to come forth and close with a word of prayer.
Almighty Yahweh, we come humbly but boldly before your throne of mercy and grace. We find ourselves coming up short again, always in all things. Allow us enough sincerity to know when we need your spirit and need to yield to you, Almighty Yahweh. Allow us to know Yahshua and know your love and the keeping of your commandments, Almighty Yahweh. Allow us, we your children, to be strengthened that we don't make no graven, molten images, because in this day and times, many of our jobs, our careers, education, cars, homes, even money itself, clothes, stuff, Almighty Yahweh, it's a lot of things you can turn into molten images, and we ask for forgiveness now, Almighty Yahweh. We ask that you would strengthen us and deliver us, that our sins don't find us out, Almighty Yahweh. Allow us to run to you and not away from you in all ways and all things. And we'll praise you and thank you and glorify you and lift you up. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you allow us to know ourselves and to judge ourselves so that we won't be judged. We ask these and all other blessings in your son Yahshua's name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.